Praise the Lord. Everybody, I said, praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for turning point. I pray it will be a turning point in every life in Jesus' name. Give me a shout of amen.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege you've given us. And Lord, we just pray you turn us around. There will be a turning point in every life in Jesus' name. Anything we have overlooked in the past, anything we're overlooking now, on the way to that destined kind of turning around, Lord, we pray, open our eyes to see. We'll bless your name because we know you've done it. And we're going to laugh and rejoice because of your goodness in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said once again, amen. Thank you very much. You can sit. We're looking at Numbers chapter 6. As you look at Numbers chapter 6, you might read Numbers chapter 6 like an Israelite of old. Or read Numbers chapter 6. Or you might read Numbers chapter 6 as people that went beyond the period of the Pentateuch. That is the period of Moses, Genesis to Deuteronomy, as they would read Numbers chapter 6. You might even go a little bit higher and read Numbers chapter 6 like people at the time of Jesus Christ in the Gospels will read Numbers chapter 6. You might go beyond the time of the cross. That is on this side of the cross now. Then you're looking at Calvary. Calvary has taken place already. And a change has taken place in dispensation. And then the church is on this side of Calvary, on the resurrection side. Then you come to Numbers chapter 6, and then you read with that understanding that now we're on this side of the cross, on this side of the resurrection, on this side of the ascension. While Jesus Christ is now seated on the right hand of the Father, and then we're seated together in heavenly places with him. And now you read Numbers chapter 6 with that understanding. I'm coming to Numbers 26. We're looking chapter 6, verse 22. It says, and the Lord said, speak unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, oh, on this wise shall he bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. I'm sure you know if you've listened to me before, I do a lot of counting. And when I read my Bible, I count. I'm going to say number one, the Lord bless thee. I'm going to say number two, the Lord keep thee. I'm going to say number three, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee. I'm going to say number four, the Lord be gracious unto thee. And then number five, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. Then number six, and the Lord give thee peace. And then number seven, and they shall put my name upon Israel, and I will bless thee. Is it, I may bless thee? If I'm in a good mood, and you happen to come on the right day, at the right time, when I feel very happy, you might have some blessing. I may bless you. Tell me that last line. I will. And when God says I will, then he will. And there's no doubt about that. I will. But the point is that right now, it's not like it was at the time of Moses. What do I mean by that? You see, at the time of Moses, there were some special people that were called priests. And just a selected few. But as we come to this side of the cross, now something has changed already. It's not just this or that that's a priest. Now, we are all priests of the Lord. When you come to that understanding, you're not waiting for an Aaron. You're not waiting for somebody to say this or say that about you. Now, let's discover who the priests are. Then we'll know who is pronouncing Numbers chapter 6. Now, we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation. I am chosen. A royal priesthood. I'm a priest. And it says, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It says, if you're called out of darkness and you're called into his marvelous light, number one, you're part of the chosen generation. Number two, you're a kingly priest, royal priesthood. Number three, you are part of a holy nation. And number four, you are now a peculiar people. Now, what will that imply? What that will imply is, now, you take the words out of the mouth of Aaron. And you're not waiting for an Aaron to pronounce the words on you. Now, I am a priest. As a priest, I pronounce the words upon myself. And whatever you say as a priest of the Lord, God confirms it in heaven. Is that right? Look at Mark chapter 11. In Mark chapter 11, it says in verse 22, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say. You see, in the New Testament, now that the New Covenant, we're not waiting for Aaron to say this. What if Aaron just, you know, lost his voice and Aaron is slow and Aaron is not saying what he ought to say? And then I say, don't worry, Aaron, we're now on this side of the cross, on this side of the resurrection, on this side of ascension. I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ. And because of that, now I can say. And now he says that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. What does it say will happen? He shall have, I will have whatsoever I say. Look at verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them. What will happen? And you shall have them. Now I want you to pick up those things one by one. For example, number one, it says, the Lord bless thee. Number two, the Lord keep thee. Number three, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. Number four, the Lord be gracious unto you. Number five, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Make his face to shine upon you. And then number six, it says, the Lord give thee peace. Number seven, the Lord put his name upon you, even upon the whole nation. You know what happened in the Old Testament? Even as you look at this man, we call this man Jabez. And you know, Jabez did not wait for Aaron, did not wait for Moses, did not wait for any priest or high priest. He said, hey, I have some need. And there is no priest here, there is no high priest here, and there is no Aaron here that will put this blessing on me. I'm going to put it on myself. And that's what the Lord is telling you to do. It's now for you to take those same words out of the mouth of Aaron and say, this is mine and this is me. And I'm going to have what the Bible says I'm going to have. I'm looking at 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, we're looking at verse 9. It says, and Jabez was more honorable than all his brethren. And then it says, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with what? Or sorrow. I think a man like this would have needed an Aaron, a priest, an high priest, somebody to come and just, you know, lay hands on me and pronounce the word and say, number one, God bless thee. Number two, God keep thee. But Jabez said, well, Aaron is not around. And because Aaron is not around, I'm going to do that, because he counted himself as a priest. And the Lord has actually pronounced you and I as priests of the Lord. And so what the priest should have said, we are going to say. And you say it about yourself, and the Lord is going to confirm it in Jesus' name. And Jabez called on the God of Israel and saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Do you remember that's number one thing Aaron should have said? And this man said, Aaron is not here to say it. I say it about myself. Instead of the Lord bless thee, he said, the Lord bless me indeed. Then he goes on to say, and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. Instead of waiting for Aaron, Aaron would say, the Lord keep thee. Jabez said, the Lord keep me, and the Lord kept him. and the Lord will keep you, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. And the Lord will grant you in Jesus' name. You say, he said that the Lord bless me and the Lord keep me. Now, you know, number three there is that the face of the Lord will shine upon you. Come to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm looking at verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're looking at verse 18 there. There it tells us how that face will shine. And then your own face too will shine with the glory of God in Jesus' name. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You see, that now is upon us. You're beholding the face of the Lord, the glory of the Lord. And as you do that, Aaron is there or Aaron is not there, it is just already in Jesus' name. And I believe that that face will begin to shine upon you even from this very day in Jesus' name. And the Lord be gracious unto thee. As we look at Hebrews chapter 4, I'm looking at verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, we're looking at verse 16. Abundant grace is waiting for you. All you need is just to come into the presence of the Lord. The Lord be gracious unto you. And already you pronounce that upon yourself and you're saying that grace is here. Abundant grace, sufficient grace, and sustaining grace. It says in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find what? Find grace to help in the time of need. And then he talks about the countenance of the Lord, and that countenance of the Lord be lifted up upon you and then shine upon you. We're looking at Psalm 4 verse 6. Psalm 4, we're looking at verse 6. The point I'm making to you here is we don't need to wait for an Aaron now. We don't need to wait for a priest now. We don't need to wait for anyone because Jesus Christ is our high priest and he transfers that to you, transfers that to me. And it says, bring the blessing upon yourself and you are blessed in Jesus' name. We're looking at Psalm 4 verse 6. It says in Psalm 4 verse 6, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Here David was not waiting for an Aaron, was not waiting for a priest. He said, Lord, I'm representing the whole nation. Lift up your countenance upon me and then upon us, upon my family. You can bless your family. You can be a blessing to your children. What if it's the dead of the night and something happens and then there's a challenge in that family? And then you say, what am I going to do now? Can I go and wake up Pastor so-and-so? Can I call on Sister so-and-so so that can lay hands on me and bring the blessing? He says, you are now the priest. And then just get up and lay hand on that child and God will answer your prayer. And the light of his countenance will be upon you, will be upon your family. And then he tells us, look at verse 8 there. It says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. It says the peace of God is also there to reign in your life in Jesus' name. We're looking at Psalm 89. Psalm 89. And I'm looking at verse 15. Psalm 89, verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. I know that joyful sound. It says, they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. I will walk in the light of his countenance. Say that for yourself. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day. Every day you will rejoice. And throughout the day you will rejoice. Then it says, in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. In verse 17, for thou art the glory of their strength. And in thy favor, our horn shall be exalted. And when you realize that and you know who you are in Christ and what you have in Christ, then you don't have to wait for anything or anybody or any special day, that the blessings of God will flow continually in your life in Jesus' name. As I read those words in Numbers chapter 6 from verse 20, to the end of that chapter, I began to think about the church. I don't mean this local church. I mean the church at large. And I'm asking myself, do we know our high priest today? You know, the Israelites, they knew they had just one high priest, and that was Aaron. Anytime they saw Aaron, they just had the confidence that that is our high priest. And then they saw Moses, they said, that is our lawgiver. And when they saw those two people, Aaron and Moses, Moses and Aaron, they just felt all the problems and challenges were over. And then I'm thinking about the church, do we know the high priest today? And we know that we are the priest under that high priest. And then I look at the word of God. I'm going to talk to you today on great unknown blessings from the high priest. Great unknown blessings from the high priest. And when I say unknown blessings, I'm talking about unlimited blessings. I'm talking about untold blessings. Somebody has not told me. Somebody has not told you. And there's so many untold blessings. I'm talking about uncommon blessings. That it's not something you find, you know, everywhere. But those things can be yours today. Uncommon blessings and unsought blessings. Always seek for something we don't know. You don't even know it's yours. You don't know that this is mine. And this is what the great high priest, this is what he has provided for me. And because we don't know, and because we do not seek, that's why we don't have unsought blessings. Look at Psalm 81. Psalm 81. I'm reading there from verse 16. Psalm 81, verse 16. It said, he should have fed you with the finest of wheat. And then he said, with honey out of the rock, I should have satisfied you. You know, those children of Israel, they were all rejoicing. We got water out of the rock. Water out of the rock. And the Lord was saying, wait a minute. You only got water out of the rock. If you knew what I prepared for you, I'll be giving you honey out of the rock. It will come. Isaiah chapter 48. I'm looking at verse 18. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 18. It said, oh, that thou art hearkened to my commandments, then at thy peace being as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. He was telling the children of Israel, you thought you got something, and you thought you possessed something. If you have listened to me and you knew what I really had in mind for you and my plan for you, your peace will be like a river, and then I would have satisfied you beyond your wildest imagination. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, I'm reading from verse 39 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39 and verse 40. You know, as you come to Hebrews chapter 11, I don't know whether you've ever thought about it like this. You have a catalog of these people, Enoch and Abel, and not only that, you have Abraham and Noah and Sarah and Joseph and some, all these people. We even have Daniel there, because the writer said, what shall I say more? I'll be talking about the people that shot the mouths of lions and people that went through the fire. And then you're saying, if I had lived in those days, I could have had what they had. If I could have that same privilege those people had, what a wonder my life would have been. And then it comes to verse 39. He said, these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. He said, all these people we have read about, from Abraham to Sarah to Isaac and to Joseph and to Jacob, to everybody. He said, everyone we've read about, he said, there is still something they didn't get. What didn't they get them? Look at verse 40. God, having provided some, tell me, better thing for us. And how many people have seen that? How many people have gone into that? How many people have seen that even with all the things that all those people got, what they had, there's still some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I never thought about that, you know. I never thought that Moses did not have everything and Joshua did not have everything. I never thought that this great man I read about, Jabez, did not have everything. I never thought that a man like David, that killed Goliath, that he didn't have everything, because God said, without you, without me. Without you, without me, having what we ought to have and what we're going to have, their own blessing could not be perfect, could not be complete. We are the people to receive something from heaven today that will make the whole church have their blessing perfect and complete. And you are the person. I said you are the person. I'm sure you thought about yourself that, you know, Moses is up there, I am down there. And Joshua was up there, but I'm down there. And the Lord is saying, you got it wrong. Reverse that order. They were at this level, the Lord has brought you to this level. And why that? How that? How could that happen? Because we now have a high priest that is much, much greater, much, much higher than the high priest of the Old Testament. We're talking about great unknown blessings from the high priest. Number one, I'm going to show you the identity of our high priest, the identity of our high priest. Let's, tell Aaron now to, can go to the side, because now we want to talk about our own high priest. And this is the high priest that has gone to the heavens of the heavens and now is declaring to us the blessings that we have. Number one, the identity of our high priest. Number two, the intercession of our high priest. Intercession of our high priest. Pastor John Emmanuel just told us now about Moses interceding for the whole of Israel when Joshua was on the battlefield, and then Aaron and all, they joined him. And it's wonderful, a kind of wonderful team that you have, Moses and Aaron and all, and praying, and Joshua won every battle when those three people were there. And then let's push all those people aside now and think about our high priest. And he's making intercession for us. And right now, as we're sitting down there, Jesus knows that you are here today. You're not here by accident, and he's praying for you right now. When you think about the intercession of a high priest, you are going to get something. Number three, our inheritance through the high priest. Our inheritance through the high priest. All you need to do is to recognize, I have a high priest greater than Aaron. I have a covenant greater than the old covenant. I have some promises that are greater than the Old Testament promises. And I have an inheritance that is greater than the inheritance of the Old Testament. Now, I'm going to make you to see it yourself and make up your mind and decide, who is this high priest we're talking about? And when I read it to you, you're going to find out who your high priest is. I will discover. I said I will discover. You know, when you make a discovery like this, and you just know that this is my high priest, then that finalizes everything. Not only that, that high priest is busy praying for me. And then when I cannot pray too much, my high priest is praying. When my prayer looks like at zero level, he soon prays at 100 level. And the Lord is going to answer that prayer in Jesus' name. I'm going to do something for you today. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 2. I'm going to go to 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And when you think of the high priest being identified from chapter to chapter to chapter, you say, how could I have missed that? How didn't I see that? Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, it says, wherefore in all things it behooved him, it befitted him, to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in all in things concerning God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. It tells us in chapter 2 there, it says, Jesus Christ, the high priest, he makes reconciliation for all our sins. You come to the Lord Jesus, say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, but you are Savior. And when the Savior and the sinner meet together, all the sins are gone. I said, when the Savior and the sinner, when they meet together, the sinner might be a young person or a big person, a terrible sinner, a blasphemous sinner, but when the Savior and the sinner meet together, all the sins are gone, because Jesus Christ is the high priest. Look at chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 1, it says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession. What's the name? Christ Jesus. That's the identity of our high priest. He is our high priest. Come to chapter 4. In chapter 4, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. It tells us in chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, it says, the high priest that we have now is no more Aaron. What's his name? Jesus. Come to chapter 5. In chapter 5, verse 4, he tells us, he says in verse 4, for it is chapter 5, verse 4, and no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. He tells us in chapter 5, he said, just like Aaron was the high priest of the old covenant, now Jesus Christ is the high priest of the new covenant. Let's come to chapter 6. In chapter 6, I'm reading from verse 20. It says in verse 20, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. It says Jesus Christ is made an high priest for how long? Is he still the high priest today? Is he still your high priest today? Well, remember then that Aaron blessed the children of Israel and he said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 blessings all compounded together, and 7 is the number for perfection, for completeness. And Jesus Christ, greater than Aaron, is your high priest today. You have nothing to fear. Because everything you'll ever desire, everything you'll ever wish you had, Jesus Christ, the high priest, is pronouncing it upon your life. We're coming to chapter 7, chapter 7 of Hebrews, and I'm reading from verse 25. It says, wherefore he is able. Everybody shout, he is able. Jesus is able. What can he not do? Can open the eyes of the blind and make the lame to walk and save the sinner, can sanctify the believer, can fill with the Holy Ghost the people that fill their palace, because our Jesus Christ, Savior, High Priest, he is able. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us. It's like maybe the church is not able to get it in time. So you have chapter 2. It says, this is your high priest. Chapter 3, this is your high priest. Chapter 4, this is your high priest. Chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. It says, this is the kind of high priest that actually suits us, that can solve our problem, that can give us peace, that can roll all the mountains away. And you are praising the Lord because you have such a high priest in the Lord Jesus Christ. He even tells us that he is holy and harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and is made higher than the heavens. This high priest, all your problems are solved already. Look at chapter 8 now. In chapter 8, I'm reading there from verse 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. This is the summary. And this is the conclusion. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. It's talking about a perfect high priest. You know, Aaron was not perfect. I'm sure you remember the story. When Moses went to the mountaintop to get the law for the children of Israel. Before Moses came back, Aaron had gone in a direction he shouldn't have gone, but not Jesus Christ, our high priest. He is perfect. You know, when you compare yourself, the church, with the Old Testament, and you see those Old Testament people, what a privilege they had. They got water out of the rock, and they got manna every day. But the Lord is saying you have a greater high priest, and he is perfect. And whatever it is we need, he's going to grant unto us in Jesus' name. Come to chapter 9. Now, chapter 9, I'm reading there from verse 11. It says, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come. That finalizes it. Good things to come. Those good things are coming. Because Jesus Christ is made an high priest of good things to come. Well then, if we go through all this and the Lord is telling us virtually in every chapter, as we go from chapter to chapter, and he's saying that Jesus Christ is our high priest, we know that today we are blessed. I said we are blessed. You see, those high priests, they have to change them because they were human, because they were mortal. And Aaron died, another person took over, and then that one died, another one took over. But Jesus Christ is our high priest. How long? Forever. Always there. And the kind of problem you have today, Jesus Christ solved that kind of problem before. You're thinking about 2,000 years after Jesus Christ has come. And within these 2,000 years, do you think you have such a peculiar problem that nobody ever had in 2,000 years? Jesus has solved your kind of problem over and over for many other people. And now you come, he's ready to do it again. And I will do it again in your life in Jesus' name. I now come to number two, is the intercession of our high priest. The intercession of our high priest. If you knew anything about Aaron for the children of Israel, as a high priest, Aaron will pray for the people of Israel. Might be just a community, might be the whole nation. For example, when a plague broke out and there was this devastating sickness, Moses will tell Aaron, get the incense censer and go into the midst of the people. Immediately, Aaron, their high priest, stepped into that situation. The problem was over. And now we have our own high priest. What's his name? Jesus. Immediately, Jesus steps in your family, in the church, the local church, anywhere you are. When he gets in there, it's all over. And today, Jesus is here. Where two or three people, 10 or 30 people, 200 or 300 people, 2,000 or 3,000 people, when they are gathered in my name, what did he say? I'll be there in their midst. And when Jesus Christ steps into that situation, our high priest is praying for us already, and God always answered the prayer of Jesus Christ. You know, he came to the grave of Lazarus and said, Father, I know that you hear me always. Because of the people that I hear, I'm just saying, even if I didn't say it, if I just wish it, if I just desire it, if I just imagine it, it's done. Now, if he thinks it, it's done. I said it's done. If he imagines the solution, it's done. Now, what when he now opens his mouth and he says, I don't just desire, I don't just wish, I don't just imagine, I don't just think it through, but I'm now saying that you are healed. Then you are healed. He is now saying that you are delivered. Then you are delivered. He's not saying that you are victorious and you are victorious. And he's saying that thing you are thinking about, don't even think, remove your hand, leave it in my hand, leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he'll surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord. Tell me the rest. Leave it there. When you leave it there, the problem is solved in Jesus' name. The intercession of our high priest. Let's come to this same Hebrews now. Hebrews chapter 7. I'm reading there from verse 25. It says in verse 25, wherefore he is able. Thank God he's able. What problems do I have that the Lord is not able to solve? What concern do I have that the Lord is not able to take away? And what challenges do I have that the Lord is not able to see me through? He is able. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make what? Intercession for them. It says, for such an high priest became us. This is the high priest that is praying. And this is the high priest that is making intercession for us. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Romans chapter 8. We're reading from verse 34. The intercession of our high priest. It says in chapter 8, verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. What's he doing? Who also maketh intercession for us. I want you to notice that word maketh, not just he made intercession for us. That's what the pastor says. Not that he will make intercession for us. You know, when I get into deep waters and the Lord sees that I'm about giving up, then he'll just wake up and then begin to make intercession for me in the future. He maketh. And right now, what's he doing? He's making intercession for you, for me, for us together. And I'm saying that since Christ is making intercession for you and for me, thank God my prayers are answered. Thank God your prayers are answered. What have we got to worry about? You know, sometimes, look up here for a moment. Let's say, for example, you are an Israelite, and then you had this challenge that you had all these Egyptians running after you. Why did you go out? We're going to get you again. And then you begin to cry. And then Moses just said, hold your peace. I'm over here. And it is not my first experience with Pharaoh. I've been with him before. And, you know, the first time I threw the rod, and you know what happened? The other time I just touched the river, and then it became blood. And the other time I said, Pharaoh, are you ready now? No, you are not going to go. Okay, frauds covered all the land. And this is not my first experience with Pharaoh. I've been with him before. And then eventually I told him, if you don't shape up and, you know, change, something is going to happen. They all lost their firstborn. And now the same Pharaoh came again. It's like my professor in the science class saying, well, this experiment is new to you. It's not new to professor, because we've done this before. Just put this in textbook and do this. Pour that. That's enough. Pour that. That's enough. And then you're saying, what's the result, prof? He says, you see the result now. I said, you see the result now. Now we have somebody greater than prof. What's his name? Jesus. Let's come back to Moses now. And then as he says, hold your peace. The Egyptians you see today, you will see them forever no more. Finish. And what's he going to do? Just have a rod. Rod of authority. John is holding it already. And when we stretch out that rod, it's all over. And Jesus Christ is able. Why do you cry? Why are you worried? When Jesus Christ, our high priest, is there. And he says, he maketh intercession for us. Before you go out of those doors today, that is an intercession will come to pass. Because Jesus Christ is the one that intercedes. In fact, you know, when Isaiah prophesied about Christ, he prophesied about him going to die on the cross. He prophesied about him. All our sins and heartaches and sorrows and problems will be laid on him. He mentioned this word intercession. Have you ever thought about that? That Jesus Christ will go to the cross. He went to the cross. He will die for us. He died for us already. And Jesus is going to rise again. He rose again. And then he mentioned that he's going to keep on making intercession for us. How many believers we know they've gone to the cross? Thank God they are saved. How many believers do we know that they look up to the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again, but they never think that the Lord is making intercession for them? Come to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. I'm reading there from verse 4, from verse 5. Then we'll go to the last verse. It says, surely, everybody say surely. There's no doubt in this one. You know, sometimes I like the way these prophets spoke. You know, the time when Isaiah says, surely, Jesus was still 700 years away. He was still to come, 700 years after. But he says, surely, he has borne our grief. And then he says, he has carried our sorrows. He says, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He said, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for whose iniquity? For our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And then it says, and with his stripes we're healed. It says, it's done already. Now, why did he talk like that when Jesus had not even come? He said, God had made up his mind. This was going to happen. And nothing can stop this. And it is as if it's done already. And it says he's borne it. All our grief, all our sorrow, all our punishment, everything he has borne it. Look at verse 12 now. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. And because he has poured out his soul unto death, that's talking about Jesus, he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many. I'm one of those many. You know, he's borne my sin. He's taking them away because of that. That's why I say I'm saved. That's why you say you are saved, because your sins were laid upon him. Read the last part of that verse 12, the last line there. I made. Wonderful. Made intercession for transgressors. That means then he's making intercession for you. He's making intercession for me, and that prayer will be answered. Why don't I, you know, put that in the language of Isaiah? And that prayer has been answered. I said it has been answered. And you are going to see the result of that answer of the prayer of Jesus in your life today in Jesus' name. If he knows my thoughts, if he knows my burden, if he knows my heartache, and if he's the one making intercession for me, and I know that God never says no to Christ. He might say no to that person or no to that person. You know, people say, whenever you pray, God can answer in various ways. Whenever you pray, he can say yes or he can say no. Have you heard that before? Well, that's when you pray, when people pray. But when Jesus prays, I said when Jesus prays and he's making intercession for you, God never says no. Anything Jesus asks for you, for me, for the church, and for everyone, the Lord will say yes. And the Lord has said yes. And when God says yes, who can say no? Nobody. Look at Hebrews now. Because you know there is a yes, there is a surely for the answer to your prayer. That's why it says now in verse 14 of chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Hold fast your declaration. Hold fast your proclamation. Hold fast your testimony. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore come courteously, fearfully, timidly. You know, the people that come to pray, and they're very cautious about it. They say, I don't want to ask too much. I don't want to say too much. I prefer to ask for a penny and get 2 pence rather than ask for £1 and get 50p. Therefore, I'm going to be cautious and careful about this. But look at what it says. It says, let us therefore come. How? Boldly. Under the throne of what? Of grace, that we may obtain. I'm going to obtain. I am going to obtain. And I'm going to have. I'm going to possess. You'll possess in Jesus' name, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That problem has not arisen in this world that Jesus doesn't have solution to. There's no river that is so deep that will swallow up, that will drown a real child of God. That river has not existed. And there's no mountain that is so high that the Lord cannot remove. And there's no challenge you have that the Lord does not have an answer to. Thank God, whatever challenge and whatever problem, the Lord has an answer for that today in Jesus' name. All we need to do is to come boldly to the throne of grace, and it is done already. And I'll come to number three, our inheritance through the high priest. Our inheritance through the high priest. Well, as you come back to the Old Testament, we're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, because there was a high priest in the land. The Lord then was telling them, there is an inheritance, but let me show you the way it happens. It tells us in chapter 4, verse 20, it says, but the Lord has taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. That's the first side of inheritance. He brings you to himself, and you are his inheritance. I said you are his inheritance. But look at verse 38, the other side of inheritance. It says to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, and to bring thee in, and to give thee their land for what? An inheritance, as it is this day. Join those two things together. Number one, you become an inheritance of the Lord. And then number two, he gives you all the inheritance you need. You become an inheritance of the Lord, a possession of the Lord. You say, I belong to the Lord. And the Lord said, because you belong to me, everything I have belongs to you. You are an inheritance of the Lord. I am an inheritance of the Lord. Where are you? I said, where are you? Say it out. I am an inheritance of the Lord. Because you're an inheritance of the Lord, then everything that God has becomes your inheritance. You know, sometimes we don't know that. We don't know that. It's like the prodigal son went away from home. He wasted everything that he had, his own inheritance. And then he thought, okay, I've lost my inheritance. Let me come back home and see what will happen. And then I will tell the father, I'm not asking for anything. Now make me like one of your hired servants. And the boy just came back home. And when he came back home, the senior brother was not at home. He wasn't around. And he said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. And the father just hugged him and embraced him and accepted him that now you've come back. Once again, you have become my inheritance. Everything I have belongs to you now. And then the senior brother was, you know, outside. And then asked one of the people and said, oh, what's happening? I'm hearing some noise. And daddy didn't say there's going to be a party or celebration. What's happening? Your junior brother, your younger brother came back. And then your father has reassured him that everything is all right. I've forgiven you. Everything in this home belongs to you. What? And then he stayed outside there. When he stayed outside there, I'm not talking of staying at the overflow. You know, those overflow people, they're also inside here. Am I right? I said, they're inside here. And so, but this other fellow stayed beyond the overflow, outside over there. And the father went to him and said, what's the matter? What happened to you? He said, you know, this your son, not my brother. He went away and wasted everything. Now you came back and you've given everything but me. You never gave a kid. And then revelation came. He said, my son, you're always with me. Everything actually belongs to you, but you never asked. But your younger brother, an unfaithful brother, a sinful brother, disloyal brother, he came back, he apologized. I received him. Don't stay outside there. Everything belongs to you. You know, sometimes as we come together like this, sometimes I listen to some of the testimonies as I travel around. You find some people coming for the first time to the church and, you know, we don't know where they have been. They are just coming now. And Jesus just said, welcome. You are thinking, you know, it's a late comer, getting saved at the age of, you know, 65, 69. And then why are you just getting saved now? And Jesus said, anytime you come, welcome. And then you have been there, been in this church now for 20 years, for 30 years, and God never heals me. Hey, you never asked. You just kept on walking, just kept on walking, just kept on walking. But now the Lord is saying, you can rest a little bit from that walk and say, I need something today. You're going to have it in Jesus' name. I said, you have it in Jesus' name. Everything he told that senior son, everything belongs to you. Come in and have it. Don't stay outside there and then begrudging the people that have something. Because what I have, you can have. What you have, he can have. What she has, you can have. We're going to have it in Jesus' name. But you understand, it says this is the inheritance that belongs to you. We're looking at Psalm 2 verse 8. The inheritance we have through the high priest. We're looking at Psalm 2. And then we're looking at verse 8 there. Psalm 2 verse 8. It says, ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. You know, we've been around now for a few days having all this planning meeting and discussion. And then we've been having some people that just say, you know, we discuss a little. And then they said, we try to talk to them. They will not accept. We try to talk to them. They will not accept. It's like they have closed their minds against the gospel. The Lord is saying, you spoke to them. Did you speak to me? You should have asked me about them. If you ask me about them, ask of me. I will give you the heathen for your inheritance. And then it says, the uttermost part of the earth, I'll give you for a possession. The Lord is going to do it in Jesus' name. It's not something like, you know, I'm afraid. If you're afraid to ask them to come to the Lord, tell the Lord to bring them to himself. He will answer our prayer. The Lord will not discriminate against your prayer, against your demand. They may discriminate against maybe your look or your culture, your background, your appearance, but the Lord will not discriminate. If you're asking them and they are not responding, ask God, he'll give them to you. Joshua chapter 1. We're looking at verse 5. It says, there shall no man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto these people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto your father, their fathers, to give them. I'm going to read verse 5, verse 6 again in another way. When I'm going to put you in the picture. I said I'm going to put you in the picture. You know, sometimes people come together, they say, these VIPs and this, and then they want to take picture. And the little boy is watching. Say, Daddy, can I come? Don't come yet. There's a picture for, you know, these highly placed people. And the child is saying, no, but I must come. This is only for, you know, great people. Daddy, if you are there, I must be there. And then the child, you know, without any permission, just comes and say, I'm going to be in the picture. And then the other people say, leave the child alone. Now you're going to come into the picture. I said to come into the picture. You know, the picture of, you know, is Moses and Joshua and Peter and Paul. These great, great men, they are standing. They want to take the picture. I said, don't snap them yet. I must be there. You must be there. I said, you must be there. That's how I'm personalizing it. Now look at it from verse 5. There shall no man be able to stand before me all the days of my life. As God was with Moses, so he will be with me. He will never fail me. He will never forsake me. Why don't you read together with me? Won't you go? There shall no man be able to stand before me all the days of my life. As he was with Moses, so he will be with me. He will not fail me nor forsake me. I will be strong. I will be of good courage. For unto this, unto me, the Lord will divide inheritance for the land. The Lord will do it. I have an inheritance. Anybody there? Why don't you rise up and tell the Lord and claim that inheritance? We have a high priest. We have a high priest. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Let's leave it on alone for the Israelites and let have Jesus Christ, our high priest, his identity, his power, his possession, his strength, and it belongs to us. And then he's making intercession for you, making intercession for me. And then we have an inheritance. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ for you, for me, for us all. Whatever it is you need, I want you to just raise your hand to the Lord and say, Lord, here am I. I am your inheritance. Lord, here am I. Your inheritance also belongs to me. All my problems are solved. All my challenges are taken care of. Lord, I have what you say I have. Lord, I possess what you say I possess. Take all my sorrows away. Take all my heartaches away. All these problems I see today, I will see them no more. I will see them no more. I will see them no more. Forever. I am healed. I am blessed. You'll keep me from evil. No attack will come upon my life. No failure, no defeat. I am more than a conqueror. Confirm it, Lord. Confirm it, Lord. Because I pray in the name of Jesus, my Savior. In the name of Jesus, my Lord. In the name of Jesus, my High Priest. Thank you, Lord. I know it's done. Put your hands together for Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you at this time. It's the day of victory. This is the day of a turning point. And Lord, I pray you turn everyone around in Jesus' name. All the guilt and the burden of sin, Lord, we pray, roll everything away in Jesus' name. Wash everybody clean in the precious saving blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that the assurance that will belong to you from now will be registered on every heart in Jesus' name. Any yoke, it's broken. Any sickness, it's healed. Any mountain, it's taken away. Any challenge in the family, Lord, bring solution right now in Jesus' name. We have confidence that our lives will never be the same again. Because Christ Jesus, Savior, Lord, and High Priest is praying, making intercession for us. And we know that Christ's intercession for every brother here, every sister here, every child and every boy, every girl here, Christ's intercession is fulfilled in Jesus' name. Amen. We come into the realm of blessing. Amen. And Lord, from now till we see you face to face, goodness and mercy, Amen. Healing and health, Amen. Prosperity and success, Amen. The joy of the Lord Amen. Will never cease in our lives. Confirm it, Lord, in every life. Amen. Put laughter in every mouth. Amen. Joy in every heart. Amen. That all the sorrows and all those things of the past, they are gone and gone forever. Amen. We thank you because we know it's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And everybody said, Amen.